In my Easter Sunday sermon, I stated that resurrection as a standalone event is difficult to understand. I said this in part for those visiting with us who might have come to that service thinking, this is the one of maybe two services I'm going to come to this year. And might not be back till Christmas. I said this in hopes that through participation in our Easter Sunday worship experience, the Spirit would move in their hearts, as the Spirit moved in all of our hearts that day, and that the thought might occur to them that perhaps participating in our faith community more often might be supportive of their lives and help them to connect more deeply with the things and the life of the Spirit. For that is why we are here. Church is not what many think it is. We are not here to tell people what to believe or how to live according to a set of rules. Now, if you want some advice, I'll give it to you. But that's really not what church is, even though we see that so much in churches all around us. Rather, we are here to be the place where we tell the story of Jesus. And then we let God do the rest. We are here to be people of the story who have been moved in heart and mind in the depths of our souls to live this story in community and express our sense of connection with what is divine, express our love, express our desire to be co-creators with God and God's ongoing creation through the ministry we share. Church helps us do this. Ministry, of course, is everything that we do. Prayer, worship, music, the drama the children are about to participate in or practicing for now, the dance that we see here liturgically the children are doing. Ministry is providing food to people as we do, feeding people, connecting with children in Tanzania to support them, reaching out to Thomas Jefferson High School to say, we support you who are our close neighbors. Caring for the environment, caring for those in prison, mentoring families at risk. All these things that we do together and we're able to do together because we are this community, Holy Comforter, here for God, for others. We want to love like Jesus loved, and we can do that in many ways. And in every way, and supporting each other, we live this life of loving God, supporting each other, being supported through the traditions of our faith, which both keep us grounded and yet also let our spirits reach toward the heavens. Sometimes one moment changes a person's life, but most often it is ongoing exposure to a group or a set of ideas that brings about transformation in life. The Reverend Tom Blair, retired rector of St. Stephen's, Richmond, is offering a Bible study class here at Holy Comforter on Wednesdays at 11:15 a.m. This, yeah, I actually wrote p.m. in the sermon. Don't come then, although it might be fun, I don't know. No, this past Wednesday was the first class, so it's just gotten started, so if you are available at that time of day, you haven't missed too much at all. But it was a very moving class for me. It really touched me. Tom was introducing the study, and toward the end of his talk, he said that the primary reason we study the gospel stories is not so much to become scholars, although some do, and that's great, but that's not the primary reason. The reason is to enter the story and let the story enter us. And Tom said that if we do that enough, we may find that we are not alone there, that Jesus is with us. And this is the sort of experience that made it possible for the story to be spread and to continue to be spread. At that time, after Jesus had died and had risen, but still it was so unlikely, given the lack of attention most of the world was giving to the story of Jesus at that time, so unlikely that we would be here today. Resurrection as a standalone event is difficult to understand. Resurrection was not enough to change the world. Think about that for a second. That sounds a little shocking to say in a church. Not enough to change the world, but rather it was the ongoing participation in the story that changed and changes the world. The people who continued to be together and tell the story created and participated in the spirit, in the energy of God around the event of resurrection in a way that inspired and supported people to spread the story, to live the implications of the story, even when it was really, really hard to do so. I want to consider two of those stories today. Last Sunday, we celebrated Earth Day, so we did not hear the story of Thomas, who has been unfairly singled out and identified as doubting. Everyone was doubting. And doubt, by the way, is not the opposite of belief. It's been said fear is much more the opposite of belief. Doubt is part of the process. The experience of Thomas and then the experience of the two on the road to Emmaus have some common themes that invite our consideration. In both, the risen Christ became recognizable to them within the context of the ongoing story. Thomas felt alienated from the other disciples. He could have left, gone far away from those who had such certainty when he had questions. But it was there in the community that Thomas voiced his questions and what he needed, and it was there that the risen Christ came to him and gave him the hands-on experience. "Touch me and see," Jesus said. Everyone doubted, everyone, until they had an experience that they could understand. Cleopas and the unnamed traveler on the road to Emmaus were devastated by the execution of Jesus. Some women had told them about the angels who said Jesus was alive, but that was not their experience, and they decided it was time to go home, time to go back to life as it had been for them, restoration of life as they had known it. But God wanted more for them. Even in their grief and total disillusionment, as they walked along, they kept talking about Jesus, telling the story, trying to make sense of what happened. And into their relationship and conversation, the risen Christ comes to them and is known to them, particularly in the breaking of the bread. Every time we share the bread and the cup, we are reliving and telling the story. This is one of the reasons this developed as a central act of worship in the church. Resurrection as a stand-alone event is not enough. It never has been, not as a second-hand experience. I said that on Easter Sunday for those who might not want to come to church because they think they don't believe in the resurrection, to encourage them to maybe experience the community some more, but I also said it for all of us, too. And for the times when we are troubled by claims of the resurrection of Jesus, not sure what to make of it, maybe not sure that it matters very much, let's just kind of put that aside and keep doing the good things we do for God. There are those of us who, you know, we need to reimagine it. And I propose that we do that in a way that welcomes us, opens us to what God wants to share about resurrection with you, with me today. To that end, I share a few words from Brian Taylor, the Reverend Brian Taylor, one of my favorite authors who's not that well known. In his insightful book, Becoming Human, The Core Teachings of Jesus, the last chapter is entitled, "You Will Be Made New." In this chapter, Taylor tells us that resurrection is a new creation. Jesus was a new creation, not recognizable to the travelers on the road to Emmaus at first. Taylor then goes on to list some of the hard things in life that we go through. The trauma of losing a loved one, losing a job, moving, illness, depression. And he says that we often pray for restoration of what had been, when in fact God wants to give us resurrection. He states, "Is it possible to envision ourselves made into new people by our losses and difficulties, Perhaps depression will lead to greater honesty. A move will lead to a whole new and refreshing lifestyle. A job loss will awaken old creative stirrings long dormant and launch us in a new career direction. Now, we may not feel the hope of these possibilities of renewal when we're in the depth of our darkness, but the gospel of crucifixion and resurrection invites us to remember, even in our despair, that this is what God always does. God makes us new. Crucifixion and resurrection, the whole story. As I like to say, some people want to focus on Easter, but to keep Easter in focus, we have to consider the Good Fridays as well. With the whole story in mind, when we think about it, we don't want a mere restoration. We want to be made new. We want resurrection. We want to share in Christ's resurrection and know it in our own lives. And we seek it. And we also help to make it known to others in the world around us. I think one of the reasons that we've had a lot of education, we're creative people, thinking people, might have some trouble with the idea of Jesus' resurrection. I think it might be because we just don't spend that much time with it. That's why I'm really focusing on it again today. In Lent, we can talk endlessly about sin, death, repentance, endlessly. Maybe because those things are so much more familiar to us. And we have many traditions and spiritual practices for Lent, such as the Stations of the Cross, but not so many for Easter. We are in the Easter season for 50 days. It's a long time. We conclude the season with our great feast day for this church, the great celebration of Pentecost. But before we get there, we don't tend to have many special Easter programs like we have Lenten programs. I suspect that's because we're all a bit tired out from all that spiritual activity in Lent. But I have a practice that you might want to do on your own, and maybe one year we can do it as a group. But on your own, at your own pace, you could do what's known as the Stations of the Resurrection. I write a bit about this in the May newsletter. I discuss more there how we might do it as a group one year. But this way of walking the Stations of the Resurrection, to get started, we think about our lives. Think about your life and the life of our world. Where have you seen or see now resurrection? When has new life, new creation, come from a difficult situation or something that had in fact died? That can be a station of resurrection to which you and I turn to remember and celebrate that God does make all things new. And sometimes it even happens in our very own lives and in our lifetime. In our main newsletter, I recommend it to you. I found a lot of resurrection there. One of the Stations of Resurrection is an article about one of our Christ families, the Christ Family Program being one of supporting and mentoring. I find in it the story of Ray, who will soon be graduating from high school with many accomplishments and a bright future. I see resurrection in that story. How many resurrection stories can you find in the main newsletter? Where do you see resurrection? How would you draw it if you were to draw a picture of it or write about it? Is there an image for it, a poem? These Stations of Resurrection in our lives and in the world are part of the ongoing resurrection that God brings forth. We need to tell these stories, remember them, go back to them, spend time with them. Stories of resurrection in our lives and in our community, in the Bible and in our time. Knowing resurrection as a standalone event is to know it, I think, as kind of an artifact of history. To be open to the risen Christ now and to look for resurrection all around us and in us is to be part of God's ongoing gift of resurrection for us and for our world. Amen.